Hi everyone, welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Chris Reisner. Today we're going to be continuing our special little mini-series focused on machine learning and deep learning. So I'm going to hand it off to the host for today, Mustafa, and his guests, and he'll be taking you through today's topics. Thanks.
Hello, this is Mustafa Kasap. Today we have a special topic. I will be hosting this special topic together with my colleague Hanna. We will be focusing on Microsoft R Server, and we have a guest who is specialized on R Server, Bharat. Can you introduce yourself and mention about what will be our topic details?
Sure. Thank you for having me, Mustafa and Hanna. Today, I would like to spend some time talking about solutions that we have developed using Microsoft R Server. And we have two solutions that I'd like to spend some time about. Mm-hmm. One is called Campaign Optimization, and the other one is the Hospital Length of Stay. I'm a program manager in the Microsoft R product team, and I lead and drive all the solutions that are built on Microsoft R. So I'm happy to be here.
That's great. So let's start.
Awesome. So I want to quickly give an overview of what the solutions are about, and then we can dive into the demo, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So one of the challenges that many of our customers face is whenever they use our product is, your product is great, we have a lot of great features, but it would really help us if you can show how this actually works with the real solution. Mm-hmm. And so the first solution that we launched was in December. And the first solution is campaign optimization.
Yep.
And this is built leveraging the brand new feature that we shipped last year with SQL Server 2016 that does InDB analytics, which is our services that is built or allowing SQL Server to leverage it.
Yep.
Thereby, you don't have to switch your environment. You can call R directly from SQL.
That's great feature.
And the next solution is about predicting hospital length of stay. All of us don't like to visit there, and also we're excited to get out. And so this solution is again built on top of SQL, and it shows how you can use some of the power in SQL to predict together with R and when a patient actually is discharged.
Yeah.
So those are the two solutions that I had in mind today that I'd like to walk through.
Great. These two solutions are publicly available on the website, is that
yes.
right?
Yes, great question. And in fact, it's a good segue into where these solutions are available. All of our solutions are actually made available through Cortana Intelligence Gallery. And over there, we actually host all the solutions that our teams build. And over there, you can actually go to the solutions page. Right here, I have the solutions page open, and I've clicked on the solutions, and it shows on the top list, depending on what time you look at it.
Yeah.
Both campaign optimization and hospital length of stay is there. We'll click on campaign optimization, and the campaign optimization solution itself is geared towards two personas.
Yeah.
All of the solutions have personas, the scenarios, and who we target with. Mm-hmm. MRS solutions are targeted towards a business decision maker and also a data scientist. And when you look at a typical user of Microsoft R, it's typically a data science person, and then also the decision making with the modeling and things that Mustafa, that you're very familiar with, rolls up to making to a business decision maker. So with that, the entire solution is self-explanatory. Anyone who has very little skills can walk through it, understand what's going on.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you guys a whirlwind tour of these two.
That's great.
It typically takes about an hour or two to go through the full process. We'll try to cover both these solutions in the next 20 to 30 minutes.
That's
Does that sound good?
Great. We will also share all these links at the end of the description of this video that you can click and start working
awesome.
Through.
So you have two options when you get in here, and then the first option is basically you have without deploying, if you want to understand what the solution is about, you go to what is known as a trite now. With a trite now, what it allows very quickly to the business decision maker, what the solution is about. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it ran into some errors in here. We'll refresh it and tell you what, I may have some connectivity in here. I will.
Internet connection maybe.
Yeah, so what I'll do is I'll go directly to the campaign optimization solution in here, and then we will fire it from here. I have a Power BI desktop already locked and loaded. So let's spend some time from a BDM perspective what the scenario is about. Mm-hmm. Campaign optimization is a very common scenario in many companies. The goal of this is essentially, how do I actually convert more leads to generate more revenue? So this is actually talking about, how do I target customers who actually can make a purchase decision?
Yep.
So the sample that we're looking today is talking about a company that is doing insurance, and they have a bunch of products that they're actually offering to their customers. Mm-hmm. So we'll walk through what they did before and what they did afterwards with machine learning. So if you look at the first tab in here that I'm walking through, this is the historical data, the campaign summary, how things were done. What they had were they looked at nationally from their database, they pulled it up and they said from their, it's typically a CRM system that you have.
Yeah.
You get that and then you look through and see what are the places where they have had maximum conversion. Mm-hmm. And so if you really look at this graph in here that you have, you see that majority of the conversions actually happened in the middle of the week. And most of the conversions dripped as people went into the weekend or when just on Monday because the week just starts, so you don't expect a lot of conversions to happen during that time of the day, right? And also, if you look at specific time of the day, you actually look at afternoons are not the peak time. People are usually out at lunch, they're not in their desk, and they don't check emails. And the channels that you actually use for calling are to reach out customers are cold calling, which you're familiar, picking up the phone and calling.
Yep.
The other one would be email or SMS. Those are the three different mechanisms. So the options that this company has is they could do one of two things. They could do several things. They could just blast a lot of customer calling agents in Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to boost it, to boost the conversion, or they can send more emails or make more SMS during that time.
Oh, okay.
But however, that is like how you just pack and you're just looking at not per customer, how can I optimize the conversion? Mm-hmm. Let's say if I want to target Mustafa to be you, when would be the good time to reach you, what time of the day, and what is the channel? I wouldn't be able to do this. So in comes machine learning, where we wanted to actually leverage the power of R together with SQL Server, with R services. What if we can actually target you, myself, and Hannah to actually specific times of day? Hannah is probably a user who's actually is more available on the text, whereas you're more available on email. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we can just target these you both for specific modes and day of the week and also the time of the day?
Yeah.
That's what this company wanted to do, and so we take you through how we applied machine learning to provide that.
That's great.
So to augment that, what we did was we needed to understand the age group, the demographic data. So we also got through the database had demographic information about the salary as well as the age. So we are better able to predict using these.
Yeah.
And you're of course familiar with this because the more features you have, the better you can actually do. So here you go. Here is the after what we did when we took all the data that we got from the CRM system, and then we ran it through the modeling. And then now you can see per lead, we're able to specify what campaign, which is here, for example, for lead 3771, Making Better Tomorrow. The recommended day is Wednesday, and the time is evening, and the cold calling, and it has a percent, and we have a score of 0.81. The score goes between 0 and 1. The more toward, more that you're closer toward 1 means that you actually have a higher chance of conversion.
Yep.
So now this company is able to identify individual customers of those and optimize when they need to call this person. Hence, mm-hmm. campaign optimization.
Yep.
So that's kind of the overview. And then if you were to really look, you can see that for every single individual, we have been able to find out the product that makes sense, mm-hmm. the time of day, and the channel.
Yep.
Now, if you can imagine that if you can take this and then feed it to your other end of the pipe, if you will, which is like the a batch of results that go from our data over to the people who actually send SMSs, cold calling, and email, those systems would automatically be fed, and then you would have a rich conversion that's happening.
Yep.
With that's that, nice. I think it'll be useful if I just quickly demo some of the capabilities in the code.
Yep.
And it's a good time to pause and ask if you have any questions on this.
Yeah, for, until now, everything is clear. Very interesting from the perspective of customer-specific, marketing or engagement through the SQL Server on your existing data. It will be interesting to see the code. Yeah.
Yep. So for here, what I've got in here is, for those who are viewing this, I've already deployed a virtual machine in here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to quickly show how the deployment actually takes place. So you go back and you click on the deploy button, and then you are prompted to go through the deployment phase where it's a few clicks. It's just click, click, click. It literally took me like 15 minutes to get this going. And once this is actually done, you see all the deployments that I have created. And out here, I have a campaign optimization demo that we're just seeing in here.
Yeah.
I get from the solutions page, I can actually download the connection, and then I can fire up my VM, and you can actually, you'll land up in here.
Yeah.
You'll be greeted by this self walkthrough of all the personas that we talked about, like how a business manager uses it, what is the data scientist. The entire code is available for you to try.
Yeah.
You can also modify it, and you can also take it with you, and you can take it on-premise too.
Yeah.
Now let's jump into, go ahead.
Just a good question. First, it is open source, so anyone can customize this code depending on their data structure.
Sure.
It is not just, closed black box solution, they can customize as they wish.
Yeah,
just to highlight that.
Yep, the solution is completely available on GitHub. So if let's say Hannah wants to try it, she can go to GitHub. We have a quick start where you just go and click on what are all the things you need to do, and then you click on GitHub, and then it takes you directly to the GitHub where you can download this. You can clone and download. You don't have to really try it on our virtual machine. If you have the patience to deploy it on-premise, you can do that.
Also that, yeah.
But for the sake of simplicity, and it's most of our customers want something to try right away, we have deployed the solution on a data science VM.
Okay.
A data science VM, as you know, provides all the tools for the data scientists. So you don't have to install any of the components. You get it with R with SQL Server install. Mm-hmm. You get the community edition of the Visual Studio and a developer edition of SQL Server. All of these, you can use it to try. It's all not meant for production purposes, but you can play with it and you can use it and experience how the solution works. Mm-hmm. And we also have a Power BI dashboard right there for you to see it.
That's great. Another quick question. I saw Visual Studio open. I guess anyone can use RStudio or other alternatives if
Absolutely.
They want.
Absolutely.
It is free, I mean.
So that's a great question. You can go and download RStudio in this machine. For campaign optimization, we have created a folder right at the desktop, and then the R has all the code related to it. Like you can either use any one of these for, RTools with Visual Studio.
Yeah.
That's and great. So the solution, I just double-clicked and it loads all of this for you. And we'll do a quick run-through of how easy it is.
Yep.
So you have literally like three, four steps. The first step is just creating this connection. And you have a simple script that says, here is a connection string, it's a local host, and then it takes the campaign as the database and the user ID and the password. People can change it, but we've just kept it for simplicity. And then you start generating the data. All you have to do is select everything and then hit enter. And then the next step is data processing, and then feature engineering and training and evaluation. I'll just walk through each one of them. These steps are meant typically on how a data science process works. You typically take the data, you do some data wrangling, cleansing to make sure that the blank values are actually filled in, and you see if actually the data is good enough before you start doing modeling. This is typically done by the modeler, like the data scientist. And then what you do is you then look at the data and understand what kind of features you want to actually include. And that is actually, by that I mean, you select the variables that are interesting for you. And that's what happens in the feature engineering process. And then the next stage is actually you train. Like you know, you always have to have a training set and an evaluation set. You train the data and then you evaluate it against a blind set. So we take the 70-30 rule where we keep a good portion for training and then we keep a good portion for scoring. So that's what we do. And out here, what I did right before I came here, I actually ran all the steps. So I'm actually in step three. And over here, what it does is I have, like with any machine learning problem, you have multiple ways of solving it. And for campaign optimization, it so happened that we chose the following two models, the random forest as well as gradient boosted trees. These two seem to fit the bill. There is a good cheat sheet to find out for which types of problems what you use. And for this, we picked two models because you always want to provide more than one ways to solve the problem. And the idea is you have multiple models that can solve it, and then you pick the best one that actually models the data well. So you try to actually see if the, in this case, it's actually doing prediction, which is regression. So you look at area under the curve. I'll talk about it a little bit. So why don't I just run these two models to see how it actually performs. I'm going to choose the gradient boosted trees. I'm going to do, all I'm doing is control and just hit enter. So like I said, I ran this before, so it's running everything in the local machine. It's saying the number of reads, number of rows that it read, and then it automatically shows you a chart in here for the gradient boosted trees, okay? And then now let's look at the previous one, which is actually the random forest. You can do either one in order. I'm just picking the one that... Then let's look at how random forest actually does. It again goes through the same set of data. It just applies a different model. As you can see, the data is actually passed in here that's stored in a table that was all done during the feature engineering process, and the data is stored there.
Go ahead. Data is in the SQL server, local SQL server. So it is just directly accessing that data, making process directly on the SQL server.
I'll finish this and then I'll show you where the data is actually stored and you can actually take a look at it. Like right here you see, let's look at both the plots. We saw the gradient boosted trees and then we also see random forest. Just looking at the curve, you can see that the random forest seems to have a better score than gradient boosted trees because you need to look at the area that's also called as AUC or area under the curve, and it says that it's 0.93. That tells that this model actually suits better for this data set than the other one. So over here, so for this data, particular data set, you'd probably choose random forest. So if you have a different data set that is slightly different, there is no guarantee that random forest would actually perform better. It could be the gradient boosted tree that does better. And you can go wrong, right or wrong. In general, you try to look for higher scores. Anything over a 70 is okay. The more closer it is towards one, it's actually better. Wouldn't you agree?
That's great. Another question once we are here. Assume that I'm working at home. But the data, this huge data, gigabytes of data on the in my company servers. At home, I tried several algorithms options and want to deploy one of the, select one of the algorithms. And I don't want to transfer all this data through my home to business, etc. Because of security reasons, bandwidth, etc. Currently, you say that you are running on the local machine. Is it possible to switch the contacts?
It's a great question. I'm glad you asked. One of the benefits or the beauty of actually Microsoft RServer is that you can switch what is known as compute context by that to exactly take the scenario that Mustafa is talking about. Let's say he's running it on his local machine, and A, he's not comfortable running the entire model on his local machine. It doesn't have enough memory. The other thing was security. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is change the compute context where before you run this to actually choose, like right here, I'm showing you an example. I have set it here to local.
Yeah.
You'll just change that piece to say it's remote. So what that actually does is your code will actually run in a client machine, but all the execution is transferred to your remote machine. In this case, it would actually be SQL Server.
Yeah.
Was that your question?
Yeah, exactly. So,
perfect.
Thank you.
So we also have, like I said, I went through it really, I gave you a whirlwind tour, but like I said, the entire data is available for anybody to use it, and then you can execute it and play with it. We'd love to get feedback, so it'd be great if you give it a whirl and then reach out to us. As you can see on the solutions page in here, we have a way to send us feedback right from the gallery. You can go there and you can click on our solution at the bottom that you have a page where you can go send us feedback.
Yeah.
It'll be great. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
Yeah. Also on GitHub issues.
Right here.
Also on GitHub, they can make issues, comments through
Absolutely.
GitHub. Absolutely.
Yeah. The feedback here directly goes to our team that built it. So we are very eager to get feedback. So it'll be great. And that's another way to connect to us as well.
Yeah.
So that's campaign optimization. And then are you guys ready to switch over to hospital length of stay?
Yeah. Before that, one another, maybe related with the other demo also. Now we develop our code running on SQL Server. Now I want to operationalize this code. I mean, I want to deploy this solution where my clients or my clients can access through a web service or whatever. Is that possible with this R Server?
Absolutely.
Operation?
So what you're talking about is you're a data scientist, and then you have you want to actually take your model, and then now it's been blessed by you, and then now you want to make it available for other people in your organization or any other developer to use it. So with Microsoft R Server, there is a feature called operationalization, which allows you to take any model, and with a click of a button, with a single line of code, you can operationalize it, which what I mean is it takes your R code and publishes it as a RESTful endpoint, and we support Swagger completely. So
That's
if
nice.
You're actually familiar with any of the coding languages like C#, Java, Python, then you can just consume it, and you can use it, and you don't even have to know one bit of R code. So that's what our customers love.
That's great. Oh, okay. Now, ready for the second demo.
Awesome. So the next demo that we're going to go over is called the hospital length of stay. It's very similar to the campaign optimization in terms of the construct. By that, what I mean is it's, again, built on top of SQL Server with R services. This one we just launched last month, and it's to gear towards the healthcare domain.
Yeah.
And this is a very interesting solution because I think most of us don't like to get into the hospital, but all of us like to get out of the hospital.
Yeah.
And this particular solution is helping the decision makers here are the chief medical information officer, and this persona is actually the one who is responsible for managing hospitals or healthcare units. And also to the care line manager, who is actually responsible typically for a ward. And those two are the personas from a BDM perspective. And the typical data scientist is the person who does the modeling, just like how we saw in the previous one. Out here, once again, our solution provides you a really easy way to follow with these personas. It gives you a walkthrough of what the workflow is, what the experience is.
Yeah.
And the same sample code, you're allowed to see a sample code like how we did for campaign optimization, which I'll demo. But as I did before, you had asked me a question about data sewing in SQL Server.
Yep.
And I thought that I would actually show this in context of this. So as you can see in here, the entire data actually lives within SQL.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this is in the local machine in the DSVM. So you can In this case, it's called hospital. In the case of the campaign optimization, it's called campaign.
Yeah.
You can go in there and you can look at all the tables, look at all the stored procedures. We have the full solution completely available, including the schema, the stored procedures, and all that, and including the data. Yeah. And you can. We also have provided scripts to add more data. If you want to like try to really push the limits on this, you can add more data, and we provide you that as well.
Okay. When we deploy this solution from the portal, it will also deploy all this sample data in the SQL Server.
Yes, so it does. It takes. It gives you the database filled with data, with sample data that we have used. It provides you all the scripts.
Yeah.
It provides you in a self-contained manner so that you don't have to leave your virtual machine at all. You can try everything on this. Mm-hmm. And then once you're done, and if you're ready to deploy it into production, you can extract this database, create a backup, change the schema at will, and do what you want.
Okay.
So let's look at how the dashboard looks for hospital length of stay. Like I had talked, the chief medical information officer is a key persona or a key decision maker in this. So he's the BDM in this place. And as you can see over here, we have these boxes that you see in here. You can imagine these to be wings in a hospital. A large hospital typically has east, west, north, and south. And out here, I'm just picking up on behavioral one east because that's a specialty ward to treat with folks who have behavioral health issues.
Yeah.
And over here, the large box that you see in here relatively says that, look, I have a lot of patients in here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it tells you. So this view actually tells you the larger the color in the boxes, it tells you that there are more patients in there. So let's really quickly do a, these are all the wards and the sample data that we have, and these are all the number of days that you are looking to, number of days that the patient is going to stay in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then this gives you a summary of what is the total capacity available for me and what is the total number of patients that are available.
Yeah.
Now, for example, how will a CMIO actually use it, right? Majority of the hospitals typically have staff members who are, especially the nurses, who are actually contingent staff, which means that they are on rotation serving on multiple hospitals. So they have to factor for that. So let's say Behavioral One East requires a lot more care. It allows the CMIO to actually drill into that and then see, okay, what's going on in Behavioral One East? Well, I see a lot of patients that are actually having a lot of help that they need in things that they actually are, let me just kill this, sorry. Yes. On, for example, on psychological disorder, depression, malnutrition, and so forth. So, and then what the CMIO can do is, well, I think I really need to provide more care for the behavioral health. Mm-hmm. And so he can look at the total capacity is like only 60, and he's got a total number of patients of 89, which
more
means
than.
He obviously needs more.
Yeah.
So those are the decisions that they can make. And then he looks at it at a much more broader level, and he can also drill into the specifics. Again, this is a sample report that we created based on what we believe. This look and feel can be completely changed. This this report is connected to SQL Server, the local database, and you can play with it. Now let's look at the care line manager. The care line manager, like I said, looks at it at a much lower level.
Mm-hmm.
They look at probably a ward. So out here, we are looking at all the wards in here. So let's go filter, let's say, the geriatrics to east. And over here, it gives you, as you can see in here, it tells you all the patients, and it also gives the vitals for the patients. So it actually goes to a finer granular detail because the care line manager is responsible for each bed in that ward. So he or she may want to see how many days, when will this patient be discharged so that I can plan for the next patient to be served or help. So as you can see, the total capacity over here is 100. And they have some more capacity to fill in, but they can look at various details on by the patient, like what are in each ward, what are all the disorders that they need to treat, and this would help them to drill in at that level. And then they can look at patient, and it uses all of the vitals. It uses historical data. Let's talk a little bit about the solution. It takes all the patient data typically that the hospital has collected over the years. And then it, as the patient comes in, I know that when not many of us visit or would like to visit the hospital, but typically when you go into emergency or any of the places, they check your vitals. They take your blood sugar, they take your BMI, depending on what your case is. And then during your stay, they monitor that. So every periodically, they come and check it. All that information is fed into the system. Okay. And then our solution that we're about to show you actually takes all that data, and then it models and it tells you when will this particular patient likely be discharged. That's how this works.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Any questions? Do you want to go into the solution?
Just regarding the data, because it is personal information, HIPAA-compliant data, all these kind of things. Because at that point, our service is also a very nice solution in case there is a consideration to host data on-prem or on-cloud, all these possibilities possible
yes,
they can use.
Absolutely. So you can host it on Azure. We have a lot of compliance that we have actually certified.
Already,
so as a result, it's a very convenient place to do it.
Yeah.
If the data is very sensitive, the beauty of Microsoft R Server is that we run where your data is. We run on-premise as well as on the cloud.
Yeah.
So if you're comfortable to run it in-premise, then you can run it. Or if that's what your business wants you to do, you can do it. If you're moving to the cloud and if you're comfortable doing it, and if your business allows you to do it, then you can run it on the cloud. We run where your data is.
Yeah.
So that's actually a great question. And then now let's look at our solution. Similar to the previous solution that I showed you, we have modeled it so that it's very easy for anybody to follow. Mm-hmm. It's the same set of steps. You have a connection, you have a data pre-processing here, you go through feature engineering, and then you do the model evaluation, and then you bless it.
Yeah.
And then you say it's ready to be scored, and then I can use it. So, what I did, this is interesting, right? This is, unlike prediction, this is it's also prediction, but it's more like classification, right? You're saying, what are the odds of the patient actually going to be discharged or not discharged?
So
it's slightly different than what we had before. So over here, what we are looking at is, let me go through the models that we are actually looking in here. We are actually looking at two models. The one model is random forest scoring, and the other one is boosted trees. So we're looking at both these models, and we'll see how they predict. I'm just going to run, let me run one at a time. I'll run the random forest scoring first.
You can use all nice features of Visual Studio for debugging the variables.
Our tools for Visual Studio is fully integrated. It's a nice add-in. If you're super familiar with R, I can allow it to type, and it gives me IntelliSense. It gives me the functions that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So folks who are coming from Visual Studio already, when they use it, it's a seamless transition. Of course, if you're coming from R and if you like R Studio, we work with that too.
Oh, okay.
Because all the scripts are available for both.
Yeah.
I just ran this one, and then let me run the other one as well. Okay. So what I'm going to do is it's unlike the previous one, we don't have curves for these. We have to look for metrics that actually came back and the errors. I was just about to get there, but you kind of took me. So we want to look at both the models and how do you make the decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have a couple of things. You want to make sure that your model actually fits very close to zero, which means you don't want it to be too far away.
Yep.
And so you look at the mean absolute error, and the mean absolute error is just one. And typically with that, you'll also look at the coefficient of determination.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at combinations of those two depending on what your data is. And in this particular case, you could make a decision based on mean absolute error, but the coefficient of determination will also tell you that if you're higher you are closer to one, it's better.
Yep.
And that's what we're doing here. And so we're looking at the mean absolute error for the first model that I ran. It's 0.59, and the coefficient of determination is 0.88. It's good. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
Yep.
And
yep.
the other one, actually, if you look at the mean absolute error, it's much more closer to zero.
Right.
And the coefficient of determination is actually higher. So in this case, when I ran it with this model, I'm leaning towards actually picking up this one because this gives a better fit, or actually this would make better predictions, and that's what the data tells me, and that's what the modeling tells me. So with that, I will actually go for using the boosted tree scoring in this case. So like the previous example, we always provide the most popular models that are used for solving these kinds of problems. because not one model always fits for everything. Right. So you could, if your data changes, the other model could be better than this one.
Yep.
And go ahead. Yeah,
the good side of what I saw and tried with some of our partners, ISVs, you can run the R code, try to find which algorithm is better depending on these metrics each time you have new data. And the better algorithm, you can automatically, by writing code, you can deploy the more efficient algorithm to be used, consumed.
Yes, absolutely.
So this is a really nice environment for this kind of customization. Yeah.
So to close on it now, what will happen is you can, now the data scientist has done the modeling. He has blessed this model that we did with the one that predicted the boosted trees actually provided better results.
Yep.
And so he's going to hand it off to the IT department. Or to answer your question, you can just click a button for deployment to say that operationalize it.
Yep.
And then it gives you a web service endpoint. And now you can hand it off to your developers who can actually pass in the data and get prediction. They can make whatever, however beautiful applications that they want. In fact, some of our customers have tried this and they're experimenting with this, these solutions to see how it actually fits for them.
Yeah.
I think that's all I had for today.
Great.
And it's, you have any questions for me?
I don't think so. I think you've covered it.
Great. Yeah. Thank you very much, Bharat. It was really nice to have you in the session. Great presentation, great solutions. We will be continuing all these series with our server also. Let's keep in touch and follow us. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity and nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hannah. Thanks, Mustafa.